The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Allah has, with regards to His dhikr, with regards to His remembrance, has stated in the Quran Hakim, وَلَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that my dhikr, my remembrance, is very, very great. وَلَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, however it is done, wherever it is done, whichever place it is done in the hadith it is stated that that place, that the people in the heavens, the creation in the heavens, see the glow from that place, like the moon and the stars. The glow is more than the glow from the moon and the stars. And there are many verses in the Quran and many ahadith with regards to the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, and the meaning of the hadith with regards to the majlis of dhikr of Allah, that where people sit and remember Allah and do the dhikr of Allah and do the hamd of Allah, whether it's jahir or it is khafi, it is loud, or if it's khafi, if it is silent in the heart, however it is done, the dhikr, in the majlis, then that place, that majlis, that physical location where dhikr is being done is full of barakah, so full of barakah, so full of blessings, that in that gathering, Allah Ta'ala listens to the du'as of the dhakireen, those who are doing dhikr. Allah Ta'ala listens to their prayers. And with regards to this majlis, the gathering of dhikr, it is mentioned in the hadith that in the heavens, where the on the earth where people sit and see, where the people sit and do dhikr on the earth, that from the heavens the angels descend down to the earth to the gathering of dhikr, so much so that the gap between the earth and the heavens is filled with the angels who are attending the gathering of dhikr. SubhanAllah, so imagine, can there be a greater gathering than this at this moment in time? That at this moment in time in the world, can there be a greater majlis than this? And this in reality is a meeting. It's a great meeting, a great gathering. So people say in the world, come to this meeting, this is an important meeting, great meeting. And where Allah Ta'ala is sending all of these blessings on the gathering, such a valuable gathering, majlis, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy descends, and me and you are gathered here, is this not Allah Ta'ala's mercy? And this we cannot buy from the marketplace. We cannot buy it with wealth or money, or with our physical power and energy. This is special, Allah's special rahmah and mercy that we are sitting here. It's not a small thing. What a great majlis, that the whole space between the heavens and the earth is filled with the angels. So when we do dua, then all the angels, millions and billions of angels, will all say ameen with that dua. Because these du'as, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, this is du'a, that Allah become my wakeel. How? Become a wakeel for that my problems, my issues, my predicaments. I know that nobody else can solve my problems, Allah. Only the solution can come from you, Allah. The dunya cannot help me in my issues, that all of my cases in the world I assign over to you, Allah. And Allah, please solve my problems. And the angels say, Ameen. Millions of angels, and with their beautiful nurani statement, they'll say Ameen. So Allah Ta'ala send them for this reason, that when my creation, the humans, do dhikr and do dua for me, Allah says to the angels, you say Ameen, so that I also accept the dua. So this is the reward we get in this majlis. And these are the beautiful rewards that when a person gets up after dhikr, Allah Ta'ala announces that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. What else is there left? Your sins have been eliminated, and we with ease depart from the gathering. So this is an ajeeb scene, an ajeeb beautiful scene, this, the majalis, the gatherings of dhikr. This is a beautiful situation. In the hadith we read about this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, subhanallah, given kashf and karamat. Because remember, this is haqq in the Ahla Sunnah wal Jama'a Aqeedah, in the belief of the Ahla Sunnah wal Jama'a, the rightly guided believers. The kashf, the vision, karamat, the inspiration of the awliya Allah is haqq. It is truth, because it's in conformity with the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time to time, gave inspiration and kashf and vision to his walis, to his pious servants. So it depends what is the hikmah behind the kashf, that for which reason Allah is given the kashf, the vision or the inspiration or insight to his wali. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't give kashf to his wali to make them sparkle in the world, to become famous and known. That, oh, do you know that wali? He had a vision or he had some inspiration. No, rather the pious person, the wali is that person who doesn't have a nafs. This is the first rung on the ladder to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the person has to crush his desires and ego, and that's when he becomes a wali, a friend of Allah. So the person who doesn't have nafs, then why would he have a desire that, oh, I had a kashf today, I had this dream and people should start following me? The walis of Allah, the ones that I saw, they used to be hidden. They used to try to hide, and they used to try that I want to be a common man, a normal person. People don't recognize me. I'm not zahir. I'm not apparent. I'm not visible. I just want to live like the common man. I don't have a need to show myself. That Allah ta'ala wants the work. So when Allah ta'ala wants the work of the deen from the person, from his wali, then Allah puts nur into his life and enlightenment, that people automatically come after him, the people in the world. So he doesn't, the wali himself, demonstrate that I'm a wali and accept me and follow me and etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give sometimes the feeling and emotion and vision and kashf to his wali, so that the eyes of their heart would open up. So this is called kashf. So there was a wali of Allah in our Naqshbandi silsalas, one of the silsalas of Naqshbandi, I can't remember his name, and he was a great personality. There were many other walis of Allah, many learnings and examples of kashf. So this wali had kashf, insight and inspiration. And mashallah, we have iman that when we hear hadith, we believe in something. So whatever is in the hadith. So when he used to read the hadith or hear hadith, he could see the physical demonstration of the words of the hadith, and he would tell his students, maybe because Allah wanted to increase their yaqeen or certainty, Allah knows best. So his murids, his students, their situation was such that when there was a gathering of dhikr, alhamdulillah, and just as it stated in the hadith that the angels descend into the gathering, they used to see with their eyes that the jamaats and the groups of the angels were coming in the droves. Massive numbers to the majlis. Look, we can't see this. We're sitting here, but this is happening now. Angels in their droves, in their millions attending. And the students of the sheikh would see this, that the angels were attending the gathering. When they used to recite Khatam-e Khwajgan. Khatam-e Khwajgan is the recitation of the verses that we recite, the kalamats that we recite and we send as ithal-e thawab. We send as reward. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept this recitation and the reward to be sent to all of the individuals from the Prophet all the way down through the walis, the sahaba, through the chains, etc. So we recite la hawla wa la quwwata illa dhikr. We recite the verses and then we do maraqba dhikr, and Allah Ta'ala gives the reward for all of these deeds, and we ask for Allah Ta'ala to share that reward, to give that reward also to the pious personalities before us. So now, as it is stated in the hadith, the dhikr majlis, and many walis of Allah have experienced the benefits of the dhikr gathering and Allah's mercy that's raining down upon the heads, upon the bodies, upon the people who are sitting in the majlis. In this, so much of Allah Ta'ala's mercy rains down on the majlis of dhikr. Somebody sitting down in the majlis and he becomes nurani and he is overcome with emotion or benefit, and people, this wali would see the benefits of the gathering of dhikr physically as per the hadith. And another point here is that which gives us taqwa, an increase in fear of Allah, that he said that when we did the dhikr of Khatam Khwajgan for the walis of Allah, then those same walis would come and sit and attend the gathering and say alhamdulillah and be grateful that you are doing this dhikr of Khatam Khwajgan, you're reciting these verses and you're asking Allah to send the reward to our graves, and to be grateful for that we've come to this gathering, to be included in the gathering. Just like Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi rahmatullah used to state that when he travelled to Medina, he was on Hajj when he went, and the same way he did maraqaba, he did dhikr, and he would host the dhikr majlis in the night with his murids and with his students. And when night fell after Isha, he came to his place and they started to do dhikr in their majlis, in their gathering. And after dhikr, when they used to recite Khatam Khwajgan and recite the verses and send, and ask Allah to send the thawab on the walis of Allah in the silsila, then all the people who were in the room, and mashallah, all the people who are in the Jannatul Baqi from Silsila Naqshbandi, they would come to that majlis and sit and attend that dhikr gathering. Subhanallah. Their ruh would come. And they would say that you're doing dua for this person and you're doing for this person. Like we say in this gathering, that so many people are ill. This is not a drama. This is essential. Wali of Allah said, I was there once and I was in Masjid al-Nabawi at that time. And what did I see? This is the same wali who used to have kashf. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love this wali of Allah, who used to have the kashf. And he was sitting down in Masjid al-Nabawi, this wali of Allah, and doing dhikr and reading. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and sat down and lied down next to that person, next to that wali of Allah. And mashallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's legs were towards him, and they were lying down and they were relaxing, and they were happy about the dhikr that this wali was doing. And I'm telling you, this is the true event. So when he was doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this wali of Allah, and for all of the people he wanted to do dua for his mother and father, somebody said to him, please do dua for me, and he remembered and he started to do dua. And what did he see? That he was doing dua, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is about the dhikr majlis, my friends. This is not a small thing. This is a very valuable thing. You brothers come, you have made effort and sacrificed your time. But remember, there's a very great reward that you depart with. And if you were to see this, then you realize, what is this? But I'm telling you, this is the reality of what's happening. So another point here, another valuable thing I'm telling you, is that when a person does dua, so he saw this wali wala that was doing dua, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down and delivering and sending the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. So when in the end he did a dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is what a person does, isn't it? When he does dua, that Allah please forgive the whole ummah and solve the difficulties of the ummah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time became so happy that he sat up and came close to that wali of Allah. Came close, and they were so happy that this wali is doing dua for my ummah. And then subhanallah, Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah to deliver that, to accept this dua most readily, for that the dua that this wali was doing. And this wali was saying that I was so happy and amazed that I did so many duas, but when I asked dua for the sahaba, in the same way when I started to do dua for the ummah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very happy and emotional. That how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy and how much love he said, this wali, he said, I saw myself physically, that how much love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has for his ummah, for his nation, my brothers, for the believers. Allah Ta'ala has stated, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, faqad faza fawzan azima. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alongside with his name, that if you obey me and my Rasul, then you'll be successful. Only then. What a great state has been given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We shouldn't be lazy in ata'at, in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we're ashamed in this world, we go back, man or woman. And if there's a hukum, an order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us, or he has made a desire that I feel like I want my ummatis to do this, my followers to do this. Let me tell you an event. I remember this event about the imam, the turban. This was desire. I'm not talking about fard or wajib. I'm talking about a desire, that how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would present his desire or his sunnah. And there was another wali of Allah who was young at that time, and his name is not clear in my mind at the moment, because mashallah, I used to sit with the walis of Allah, with the pious elders, and I used to hear these events, and this was my lifestyle. I used to listen and allow the words to absorb my hearts, because the majalis of the walis of Allah, if you sit there, they're very nice gatherings, and this was my desire and passion from the young age. I used to do this. So I was sat in the gathering and I heard that mashallah, there was a wali of Allah who had a lot of capacity and ability, and he paid attention and focused. A lot of people have to work hard. For example, a normal student who goes to a class and he listens, but there are good students who listen and they automatically memorize. The other students have to work hard and revise the sabak and the lesson and keep revising it and remembering it, and then he gets scolded or told off by the teacher. So in the same way, tasawwuf, this happens. Sometimes there's a difference between the students. Some students, they have that capacity and ability, they grab that learning, the lesson, and they implement it straight away. But others are like empty hollow boxes, take years to learn and to revise and to practice. So this person, wali of Allah, was young and had so much capacity and ability that his sheikh, mashallah, alhamdulillah, was the sheikh of wali. So this young wali, his sheikh was a wali, and he had the ability and he had the capacity, and this is due to Allah Ta'ala's will and Allah Ta'ala's desire. And this is bi-idhnillah. So if we understand, if we don't understand, people waste this. So a capacity to practice deen or ability. So Allah Ta'ala bi-idhnillah gave hukum to the sheikh to give khilafat, give deputization to your student. And he had the ability, he had the capacity, he had the capability. And as soon as he attained the khilafat, remember, the most important thing is atiullah wa atiur rasul. And it's obvious that the wali of Allah, the first thing that comes into his life is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first sign, that is his heart being made, is he successful, is the dhikr being success, is his dhikr successful, and the sunnah comes into the life of the person first. So that's the first thing you see in the Naqshbandi silsila. A person who's a student, even if he's an empty box with nothing in his heart, straight away he will start to wear the imam. Straight away he'll start to wear the sunnah turban. And this is because the color of the sunnah comes into his life. No other color comes into his life. Atiyullah Rasul, his salah becomes solid and firm and steadfast, and he starts to follow the sunnah. And here we can see that the dua is worked for that person. So the color of the sunnah came onto that wali, and mashallah, he started to wear imamah, and he had just got married recently. And I'll speak about something in between here, that brothers, what we're talking about, that we should understand and we should respect the desire of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many things that the Sahaba wrote down and recorded. And they're recorded for this reason, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like deeds. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked fragrance, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked this libas or this attire. And he never said, you wear this, do this. No, it was stated that this, I like this dress, I like this attire, or like to wear this. And the ashik, the lovers, the Sahaba, they were so happy, they started to implement. And there's nothing about arguing here or debating here, difference of opinion here. So the Sahaba would say, oh, we like this because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, we like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked miswak, so they like miswak. This was hukm. But these things, attire and appearance, come into preference. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like honey, isn't it? So we should like honey. And there's the meat from the shoulder portion of the animal, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like the shoulder meat. The shoulder meat, alhamdulillah. And he liked it, and he used to feel like, his heart used to feel like he'd like to eat it. And so the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like, there's another habit that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to like to consume or do something. Hadudi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked certain things, and he used to do certain things, and it's obvious that we should, mashallah, seek that product or commodity to eat it. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like something, then we should also like it. So this is a very important point. There's a big reward here for following what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked. And I'll tell you a true event, a true story, and this is about a wali of Allah, about his kashf, about his experience, about his inspiration. So he started to follow the sunnah, he wore imamah, and he was early days in the marriage. And the women nowadays, sometimes they say, why are you doing this? Why are you wearing this? Why are you looking like this? For example, our women think that, oh, look, he's become a malana, he's got a beard and he's got the attire, and people hear this, and then the women sometimes there's a negative influence on the husband. They said, no. Oh, okay, now you've kept the beard, that's fine. But it's important to give the imamah. No, you can't wear the imamah, you can't wear the turban. And then that man, he has a problem. He's in a predicament. Who's going to argue with the wife? The one, if you go home, the mood's off. No, you're not going to wear the imamah. You're not going to wear turban. You look like a mulana. What's this? No, I don't want to be called the wife of the mulana. And this generation comes, tell me, is this good? I ask for forgiveness. There are many mulanas sitting because they don't have appreciation. They don't have the ilm, the appreciation. And the women, they don't have the qadr. They say, no, you're looking like an imam. But he wore the imamah, this wali. And who's going to take that imam off? Where did he wear it from? That he got the order from above. He got the water from above. Like this imamah we're sitting, some people don't even wear the imamah. This is Allah's fadl and mercy and karam that we've wore the imamah. Otherwise, who would give us? We didn't wear it due to our own strength, and nobody can take it off. It's not going to come off. It's with the permission of Allah. So he put the imamah on, and his wife was maybe interested in saying that you're wearing imamah. And once he came home, and she was crying. Bad situation. She's trembling and shaking, crying. And he said, what's happened to you? And he had come home, and she said that today, oh, I can't tell you. She couldn't even speak. He said, what happened? She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and it was like a vision or dream. And he said his appearance, such a beautiful, she described the appearance. He said, such a beautiful face. I haven't got the words that I can explain. And because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah give ziyarah and may Allah give us ziyarah and the sight visibility. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come, he would come with a beautiful smile. A beautiful smile. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come, then there will be a beautiful smile on his face. Aha, this is a special, special thing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever he came to ziyarah to the people, and that day he was smiling a lot, she said that I saw his blessed teeth, and from his teeth was such a sparkle of glow. This wife of this wali is saying that I saw such a sparkle glow that so far went the nur. And she said, I fell unconscious. And then he came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came close to me and said, look at me. And I looked at him, and what should I see when I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That he was wearing a white imamah on his blessed head, and the imamah was sparkling, his turban was sparkling, white, glowing, shining. And then she said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hinted and guided and said that I prefer this imamah. He hinted, he pointed to the imamah, and he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have you understood this? And then he went. And then the wife said, whether you want to please for the sake of Allah, never take the imam off. How can it be that you don't wear the turban now? SubhanAllah. So it's not necessary that every man's going to have kashf or karamat or ziyarah, or the dream of the Prophet ﷺ to tell us to follow the sunnah. What is the Quran? What is the hadith? If Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran that hold those things beloved in your life, that what my Nabi ﷺ held beloved in his life. So this is sunnah. Why do we debate and argue with people and say we don't have to follow it? The more years we are stubborn and we don't practice the sunnah, then those years have gone into the black, into the drain. For example, if you put a piece of paper into the printer, sometimes it happens that when the print comes out, when the paper's printed, that there's text on half of the paper and there's no text on half of the paper. And this is our life. That person who doesn't print the sunnah onto his life, then half of his life is black, it is empty. There's nothing. There's nothing to his deeds. Allah will ask, what was the problem? Why didn't you follow the sunnah? Oh, Allah, I used to work. I couldn't practice the sunnah. I couldn't wear the attire. Allah says, okay, that's fine. You don't have to wear the attire. But the rest of the time, you could follow the sunnah. You work for 6 or 8 hours. But what of the rest of the balance of the 24 hours? Why did you discard the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you understand the point I'm making? Oh, we say, oh, it wasn't important. That Allah Ta'ala says, this was beloved to me, wasn't it? I liked it, didn't I? The sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not like his sunnah? Of course he did. So why didn't we bring this into our life? So this is about the things that are beloved to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this wali of Allah saw, Allahu Akbar, the things that were beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started to wear it and follow it. So if someone tells me after to take it off, the imam, will I take it off or not to follow the sunnah? And what a beautiful fragrance and light will come to life. The so beloved were these things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he came to the dream and said, don't take this off, to the wife. And it was a white imamah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So brothers, the walis of Allah, they mashallah have a lofty status, high status, and Rasulullah would give inspiration to in the ziyarah to walis of Allah, and they would see things and have the emotion, just like we're sat in dhikr, we're doing khatam al-khwajgan. So when we come and do khatam al-khwajgan, when we come, remember the point, as I said earlier, this is a very great majlis, a very great gathering. Remember, in the khutbah of Jummah, when the Jummah khutbah culminates and concludes, then the imam, he states 7 words with regards to the dhikr of Allah. They're not coming in my mind at the moment, but he concludes with the high lofty from azu wa jallu wa tammu wa hammu wa akbar, and it's great, and dhikr is high, and it's got lofty state. Is this not the case? We hear it every day or regularly in Jummah. So there's obviously a point behind this, isn't it? The dhikr of Allah is a fantastic, massive, gigantic action. Shaitan melts due to the dhikr of Allah. Shaitan is the supreme enemy of dhikr of Allah, and that's why he wanders around in the world and he distracts people that don't do dhikr of Allah. He doesn't. And many tools he's using to take people away from dhikr of Allah. And that's why today many people are dragged away from the dhikr of Allah. And that's why when a person does dhikr of Allah in such a gathering, in such an environment, Allah Ta'ala mashallah has given, for example, a beautiful voice, then he should remember Allah Ta'ala with a beautiful voice. So that the attraction is created in the hearts of people. Today I've really enjoyed, somebody said something to me, I was given invitation to a brother about dhikr. I saw him, I thought he was new to the scene, a new face, and I said, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum. I thought, how shall I give him da'wah and invite him? And I said to him, do dhikr. And his response was a beautiful response, and I liked it. I liked what I heard, because we have to give da'wah to people. If Allah has given us capacity and ability, then give people da'wah according to the sharia. So his response to me when I invited him to dhikr, when I said to him, do dhikr, you should sit in dhikr, come to the majlis, or come for a little while and sit down, he said, don't tell me, why are you inviting me? From very long time I'm listening to your dhikr. I said, is it? How? Where? He said, my children, my family, they listen to dhikr. We connect to the system, the receiver online, and the children, my young children, they sit down and tell me the names of the children, master this and that, and we listen to the dhikr. I said, mashallah, very nice. And he said, tell me, why do we sit and listen to your dhikr? He said, we didn't know about your dhikr before this gathering dhikr, but your voice is so beautiful that when we do dhikr, we feel so great that we reach to the heights. So they liked the sound and the voice. Because today, this is the situation, and in this day and age, we have, in this generation, we have music and vocal sounds and attraction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives somebody the ability that he can do dhikr of Allah with a beautiful voice, then people, they listen and they're attracted, and they're attracted to the name of Allah, and the name of Allah comes into the hearts. And we'll see this very regularly, that people say this, I'm not Muhammad Rafi, that people come and listen to me, I'm not a singer, We will sing melodies, and I don't practice to sing, etc. This is the karam and fadl and the mercy and the blessing of Allah that when we read Quran, because it's from Quran recitation that this comes. So when we recite Quran, then until people, the voice, the sound, the beauty reaches to the hearts of people, and all of the evil comes out of the heart, the bad music and whatever they hear, they listen to, and the beautiful melody of the dhikr of Allah, the kalamats come into their hearts. So when Allah Ta'ala has prepared this to eliminate shaitan and his attacks. Now shaitan, when he sees people do dhikr, he doesn't want them to do that. So when people start to do dhikr and recite the name of Allah, shaitan throws dust and soil onto his head and says, oh, my work's being destroyed. And from far and wide he sees them. For example, when you do dhikr, you see the shaitan, he escapes. He escapes and goes far away. And people, when they do dhikr of Allah, jahr dhikr, loud dhikr, it makes the shaitan melt. So this is not about just talking. Allah Ta'ala shows the effects of dhikr. So what I'm trying to say, my friends, my brothers, is that life is very valuable. Every day, for example, we read a book, we read a page, we turn over the page. And every day, we are turning over a new page in our lives. We're turning over a new page in our lives. And how many people have departed from us? Our own relatives have gone. Our friends have gone. We're sitting, talking, playing with people, spending time with them, friends and colleagues, associates. Where have they gone? They disappear. They disappear from the world, from the face of earth. And we will have to go as well one day. We will have to. So it may not be that the person who doesn't have obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life will depart from this world as a blank sheet of paper. His record of deeds will be a blank sheet of paper. My brothers, the value of imamah, the turban. Imagine Rasulullah came himself to the dream, the vision of that woman to explain that this should not be left the imamah. Give the encouragement to your husband. So shouldn't we practice the sunnah? Don't think you're favoring somebody by following sunnah. Just have one niyyah, intention that my master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like this. Oh, if I follow sunnah, this person will laugh. What will she say? What will he say? I've told you, don't worry about this. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his own confirmation comes. The angels come, Allah rahmah comes, mercy. We don't need to worry about people. Let them laugh. Let the dunya laugh. Let the people laugh. So what if people laugh? What difference does it make? If tomorrow people start laughing at your nose, will you cut off your nose? Many people have a nose that's hooked or bent. And I haven't seen until today that someone laughs at your nose or the other person's nose and that he destroys his nose or cuts his nose or hides his nose. Have you seen anyone do this? He has to walk around and live in the world with that same nose. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ways and practices are the best in the universe. We should follow them. For example, Rasulullah used to wear the lower garment, the dhoti, izhar, and the sahaba used to wear this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear the kameez, the shirt, the long tunic. We should have this habit. I'm not going opposite to any other attire or way of dressing, but all of the attire and the examples and modes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should emulate. I've seen many walis of Allah, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah, he had the same libas, the kameez used to be worn, and it used to reach to the height lower than the knees, to the calves. And if Allah gives the tawfiq, then wear pyjama or wear shalwar. Or if Allah gives you the chance to follow the best way, if you want more love and closeness to Allah and His Rasulullah, then wear the dhoti, the zar, and walk like young people in the streets of England. And people will say, assalamu alaikum to you. This darwish, this wali of Allah, the servant of the Prophet, the follower of Rasulullah is walking, isn't it? This is great. So I'm telling you the truth here. There was a wali of Allah who saw kashf in this way, that those people who wear this attire, listen to this. Those people who wear this attire, the libas of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they walk around in the world, shopping, marketplace, going to the shop, workplace, commercial place. This might not be for you, but a new person, if he has to go to buy bread by wearing the sunnah attire, he says, no. Oh, it's a bit embarrassing. What will people say? They look at me. Until today, people have this feeling, but mashallah, you are used to the sunnah. So I'll give you a good piece of news, that when a person practices sunnah regularly and doesn't have any worry about the sunnah libas, he's driving his car, going into the world, dunya, driving, and he doesn't worry, he's normal, living the normal life, following the sunnah, wearing the sunnah libas, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was a kashf of a wali of Allah, the vision, he saw inspiration, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is my jamaat, this is my group, these are my people, they are reviving my sunnah. So here is the guarantee from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, isn't it? So we should have courage, determination, alhamdulillah. But those places, for example, so we work somewhere, we have to go to work and we have to wear a uniform, or you can't wear the sunnah attire there, and we have to wear certain codes, certain modes of uniform, then Sharia, Islam, gives a permission. Though if you go to work during the working hours, you have to wear some uniform, or you can't work some places, you go to work, they don't let you wear the attire of the sunnah. You're not allowed, there's a code of uniform. But if you've got your own business and own place of work, that's very good, wear the labas of the sunnah. But if you have to go to work and you have to wear uniform and you can't wear the sunnah labas, fine, during the working hours then change into the work clothes, but then when you finish then turn back into the attire, because then the nafs comes if we don't do this. So yes, wear the clothes for the work, for uniform, according to the need. For example, when you get the change, or change from when you leave home to go to work if you have to, for example. But when you come home in your car, or when you're in the world, so for example, when people work in the garage like a mechanic, he takes off his dungaree and then he puts on his lungi and the sunnah libas and the kameez. So whenever you finish your work, wherever you are, the office or the garage or in the shopping market or the marketplace, then if you have to wear uniform during work, discard the uniform and wear the sunnah libas. So great walis of Allah saw kashf and vision with regards to following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu. Now talking about dhikr, the angels come to the gathering of dhikr, then they depart, they listen to the du'as of the dhakir, then they take that du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu himself comes, attends the gathering, and he was involved, included in that du'a of that person. This is the kashf, isn't it? So now this system, I've never heard until today in the history that people do dhikr like this through the connection online or through the receiver system. Never have I seen the walivala in history has done dhikr, his jamaat's there and this connection online and people around the world are listening. This is the fadl of Allah. When he wants to spread his deen and his way, then he creates the methodology, he creates the tariqah. He's created the tariqah that we are seeing, that thousands of people are listening this time. MashaAllah. You can see that here, that how many people are listening, attending, how many people have participated. I don't know the system, I don't know the technology, I just come in and give my duty. I do my duty, I don't know where it's been delivered and who's listening, how many. But some brothers say after that this site, that this many people, there are this many views, and there are different categories of views, and up to thousands of people, the whole dunya people are listening, and the majlis is established in the dunya. So who is doing this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Mawla, He has arranged this gathering. Allah says, this is the dhikr, we are sat here, and what I'm saying, everyone can listen online, and it's spread around the world. Allah says, I will create my believers and the people from the creation, human beings, who will do dhikr. Allah says, I created you, O human beings, and the dhikr of Allah is the greatest action, and Allah says, I want to spread this dhikr. There's no place in the world which will be empty or void of the dhikr of Allah. Doesn't matter what actions and sins are being committed there. Allah Ta'ala says that I will make the dhikr spread around the world. In Africa it's happening. In Zambia, I don't even know the names of the countries, and that's maybe why I studied geography and I got the degree. I remember Allah Ta'ala allowed me to study geography. I left science and other subjects and I studied geography, and I did an MSc in geography. And today I realize I studied the planets, the universe, the solar system, the science behind the universe, and so much benefit I'm getting that don't even ask, that so much spiritual enhancement you gain by studying geography, the planets and the solar system and the planet Earth, and what's on the planet Earth and the nature and the sciences and in the whole world, mashallah. So this is the benefit today. First, Allah made me travel around the world, and I didn't know where I was going. I've seen a lot of countries in the world. I've traveled high up, because this was my subject, geography. After that, after studying, I learned the languages, Spanish and German, and various languages, alhamdulillah, I've learned and studied, and various universities I studied, and this was without any objective. Allah Ta'ala trains like this, that you will then come into the real playing field, so that when you spread the deen, that you'll have the capacity and capability that you can deal with and communicate with and have social intercourse with people. That anyone comes from any part of the world, sit down with that person, speak to him, and give them dhikr. And many people who come, I have very languages, except for Gujarati, I'm learning this. I have a big desire. I want to speak also in Gujarati at some stage, inshallah. So this is another point, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. So Allah Ta'ala has announced that my deen will spread. That's it. Then nobody can stop this. Allah Ta'ala has announced my dhikr will spread. So has anybody stopped dhikr? Has it been stopped or taken? This is something to laugh about. Has it stopped? MashaAllah, how can it stop? They stopped us from that place. Allah Ta'ala put dhikr here. Aha, subhanallah. Think about it. They stopped dhikr, and dhikr was running nicely, smoothly there. We sat there, squeezed in, and nice. Allah said, okay, fine, put your thumb here and see how much light comes out. Every masjid is calling us now, mashallah. Look, here they've called us here to this masjid. What happened? That such a great thawab has come to this masjid, and this thawab has gone to the generations of the families of these brothers here. Allah Ta'ala has given them a great fortune that we're coming. They say, come to our masjid and do dhikr of Allah. So nobody can stop the dhikr of Allah. This is the beauty, the miracle. And if we take share in this, then they are beautiful. Is there no enjoyment in this? And mashallah, you must be enjoying this. We're going here to this masjid, to that masjid. We enjoy it. We go from this masjid to that masjid, to that masjid. We do dhikr of Allah. We were sat once, just in one place. And now we go to many places during the week. And then we come back to Masjid al-Zakariya. Mashallah, Zindabad. Zindabad, the best masjid, Masjid al-Zakariya. Subhanallah. So what I'm trying to say, that let's collect all of these thoughts and points, that Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is a great thing, a great action, and it spreads like this. And never be lazy in this, in the dhikr of Allah. Sit in the morning. This is from Allah that the dhikr has come. I can't do anything. The people take me out. Say, get out of here. You can't do dhikr. Allah's hikmah. Who can take somebody out of masjid? Allah says, no, you sit in this masjid and do dhikr of Allah. That I'm a coward. They push me away and I sit at home. And I come and they say, come and do dua. I say, no, I'm not coming. The person, the mullah is upset at the back. He said, he came, please come. I said, look, I can't come. I'm just a bit cool. I'm a bit weak and tender. I don't like these things. Just going for clamor and famous, to become famous and personality. And they said, please come. I said, I can't come. Then Allah prepared. Another person said, I will prepare. And he dragged me, Idris brother, to the masjid, Masjid al-Zakariya, and said, do dhikr and house dhikr. And look at it now, the situation. So this is the reality. When Allah Ta'ala prepares something, and this is Allah's name. Remember this. Dhikr of Allah is the name of Allah. And listen to every word of the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala states that the person who elevates my name, I elevate that person. Aha. Great point. Great point. Allah Ta'ala says, the person who elevates my name, I elevate that person. Never leave dhikr of Allah, okay? Even if you're going to work, you're in a rush, 5 minutes sit in the gathering. You can't sit in the whole gathering, the hour. If the sea is flowing, the river's flowing, then at least drink a few sips from that ocean, from that river, from the water. At least you've dipped into that ocean. If you see the ocean is flowing, the waves or the river's flowing, there's an ilan and there's an announcement and the jamaat is sitting and they're doing dhikr, then have your watch with you. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sit down in the gathering, do dhikr and then depart, go to work. And you've been included in the gathering and your bakshish, forgiveness has been attained, and your whole day will be full of blessings. There are many hadith and events and stories, and I won't explain because otherwise it will take a long time and we have to do dhikr. Then what is the gathering of dhikr in the morning? And what does the human being attain in the morning? What has Allah Ta'ala stated? I speak from hadith, from Quran. You'll be amazed and shocked. Subhanallah. So these mu'amalat, this situation, don't think this is a small thing, a little thing that we should waste. Life is passing. I know, where's your yesterday gone? Where's it gone? That take the sheet out of yesterday, the time is gone. How much dhikr of Allah did you do? Tell me. How much of the sunnah did you practice upon? And how much of the attire of sunnah did we implement? Then if we don't have this, then this sheet is white. It's empty. Oh, I prayed salah. Salah is fard. Allah will accept if he wants to. And what arrow have we fired on the bullseye and we say we prayed salah? Praying salah is the common thing for a Muslim. It's a must. It's like we have breakfast in the morning. Oh, talk about breakfast. I remember a point. You know Mufti Taqi Sahib, Madrasatul Ali, subhanallah, he is the Mufti Azam of Pakistan. Great personality, great scholar. So the sheikh I used to go to, Hazrat Mulana Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he is one of the highest khalifas of Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi. He was an alim, he wasn't a scholar. At that time, Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Ramdray had many khalifas, and there's the one khalifa, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Ramdray, who was the father of Mufti Taqi Sahib. And then there was also Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy. And they were both khalifas of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. But I didn't spend time with Mufti Shafi Sahib. I didn't see him. But I spent time with Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullah. He was a great personality. He wasn't an alim. He wasn't a scholar. He was a khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. And Mufti Shafi, who lived at the same time, who was Mufti Azam, who was the Mufti of Deoband, great Mufti of Pakistan. Yes? And he told his two sons, Mufti Taqi Sahib and Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, he didn't give tarbiyah himself. He said, go to Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy, who is his colleague, who is his peer bhai, and said, go to him and get the spiritual knowledge. So who says that the scholar who cannot go to the non-scholar to learn tasawwuf? And who says that the person who's not a scholar cannot be a wali of Allah? I saw him, he used to lead Jummah. His khanqa was a great place in Karachi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And it was a good time then. I used to be there. I used to go to his majlis. I used to sit there. He used to meet with love and muhabbat. I remember about breakfast. And Mufti Taqi Sahib himself, Madrasatul Ali, Damat Barakatum, said, once I went to Dr. Abdul Hayy, who was my sheikh, my teacher. And he said that, my Shaykh said, you've come in the morning, have you eaten the breakfast before you came? And these are the walis of Allah in the previous generation. Nowadays you don't see the walis and buzurs like this. And he said, yes Hazrat, I did breakfast. He said, what breakfast did you do before you came? Hazrat Dr. Abdullah asked, and just like, what breakfast did you consume? What did you have? He said, I had this, I ate this, I ate this food. My Shaykh's asking me, and as a Mufti, Taqi Sahib Rahmatullah, Damat Barakatum is saying this. His Hazrat says, is this the breakfast? The bodybuilder does this, and everyone does this. I'm talking about breakfast. And he said, Hazrat, I ate this food. I said, I'm speaking about breakfast. Everyone eats this. He said, I'm asking you what breakfast. He said, I started thinking, what breakfast is he talking about? He said, I'm talking about the breakfast for your ruh, for your spirit, for your soul. So when you come here, speak about your soul. He said, suddenly I went quiet. He said, I didn't do the... And my Shaykh said, did you not give the breakfast to your ruh, to your soul? Everyone eats what you've said. Now I'll tell you how to give the breakfast to your soul. Then Hazrat Dr. Abdullah gave the practice to Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, that do this tasbih, this dhikr after fajr, and do this mu'amalat. When you do this, then you've given the breakfast to your ruh. What tarbiyat. He said, I never in the rest of my life left the dhikr of Allah. So dhikr, the walis of Allah, they know best that what is the value of dhikr, and I'm just a waste. I don't have qadr and appreciation. Anyway, may Allah give us tawfiq, that the broken words, that may Allah ta'ala accept our sitting, our gathering and our speaking. And sometimes there's negligence, may Allah forgive. We are insan, human beings, what can we do? But we should have courage and determination. So on two things, what? Atiullah, Ati Rasul and Dhikr Allah. These two things we need to be firm. Ati Rasul and Dhikr of Allah. We shouldn't be lazy on these, and we should work hard and strive for both of these things. Ameen.